Hi, and welcome to the Happy Gut for Life podcast with Sherry Lipp. I am Sherry Lipp, and I am happy to be here today. I am going to be talking about Bifidus, or Bifidobacterium, and SCD. If you're following a specific carbohydrate diet, you might know that Bifidus is not something that the diet wants you to have. You may not know it. If you have an older copy of the book, like I did, my first book was published in 1999. It did not mention Bifidus. So I did not know until many, many, many years later that that was something that wasn't recommended. So if you are somebody who had an older book and that's all you use and you're not really online, you may not know. But back in the early 90s, Elaine Gottschall, the author of Breaking the Vicious Cycle, read a study that indicated that Bifidus may be problematic for people with IBD. Those studies indicated that people with IBD tended to have overgrowth of Bifidus in their digestive system. So she made a little change in the diet to not include that in any probiotics we take, or especially in yogurt starter. Bifidus is a very common bacteria, and so it's very difficult. If you're using yogurt starter, it's very difficult to find commercial yogurt that doesn't have it, and also the powdered starters, it can be difficult to find. You have to get them from specialty places, and if you're using commercial yogurt, there's like one kind, and it's often out of stock. So it kind of got me wondering. So I went many years making yogurt with whatever yogurt starter, you know, just plain yogurt, not knowing that that Bifidus wasn't recommended, and I never had an issue. Now, me saying I don't have an issue doesn't mean somebody else does, you know, that everybody wouldn't have an issue. But once I read online that you weren't supposed to have it, I stopped using it. Until it started becoming very hard to get. So I started thinking about it more and started reading more about it, and that led me to add, for me personally, to add Bifidus back to my diet. Just as a reminder, this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not, should not be taken as any sort of medical advice. Always consult your own medical provider, dietitian, specialist, if you are considering making any changes, have any questions about your own condition. So I started wondering if, you know, the specific reasons for why Bifidus is avoided on SCD. So I looked up the original study that Elaine Gottschall cited. It was done in 1995. I have a link to it in the blog post I wrote, and I will put that in the notes here. I'll put a link to that in the notes so that you can look it up too. So what they found was fairly inconclusive. They just suspected that what they really just found was that people with IBD and some people with colon cancer had overgrowth of Bifidus, and they became uncertain, if that Bifidus itself was the cause of the overgrowth or if there's something else causing the overgrowth. So that is what made Elaine decide that it should be avoided, is because it was unknown at the time why this overgrowth was happening. So that's why Bifidus was initially avoided, which led me to start doing some research to see if I was missing out on benefits to having it. Because I had reached a point of healing, and so I was like, is this something that I need to avoid forever? So for me, I have added it back in. after doing a lot of research. So current studies show that Bifidus has a lot of benefits for people with IBD and other digestive issues. It's a beneficial bacteria. It's not, even from Elaine's point of view, she never said it was a bad bacteria. I think some people have taken it that way. But it's just that for some people, if you have bacterial overgrowth in your digestive system, you probably want to caution against using probiotics at all. Or definitely, you know, that's definitely something you would talk to a dietitian about, or somebody who's an expert in digestive issues and probiotics and when to use them. So this is not a recommendation officially, but generally speaking, if you have bacterial overgrowth, you probably want to be careful about probiotics where you're putting a lot of bacteria, even good bacteria, into your system. So Bifidus, a lot of people with SIBO have an overgrowth of Bifidus, but also Lactobacillus, which is allowed on SCD, because those ones tend to grow quickly, but they don't necessarily promote overgrowth in general, which is what Elaine was exploring, but it never really went any further, unfortunately, in terms of research that I have found that she did. So what I came to the conclusion of, for me, not having a bacterial overgrowth, that Bifidus is a component of my digestive system that I want to have. It's you want to have a healthy amount of it. You don't want to have too much of any one kind, because what we want is a diverse microbiome, and Bifidus is a big part of a healthy microbiome, which is why I included it back in my diet. Some benefits of Bifidus. It's used to treat H. pylori, IBS, constipation, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, restoring gut bacteria after antibiotics, and pouchitis, which is a complication if you've had a pouch due to intestinal surgery. Though a lot of people with these issues, and I have Crohn's disease, if they don't have SIBO, Bifidus has been shown to decrease inflammation and start to rebalance the digestive system, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have it again, because I want a very balanced microbiome and I'm not experiencing severe symptoms. If you are experiencing severe symptoms, that is something you should definitely be working with somebody who is an expert on that on. And they would be able to kind of help guide whether probiotics are appropriate for you at the point you're at. But saying to avoid that bacteria for the rest of my life didn't really make a lot of sense, especially given new research. So the studies I'm looking at where they do reporting Bifidobacterium can help balance the digestive system are just from within the last couple of years. So they're very recent studies, and they're very promising in the benefits of Bifidus, which is one of the reasons why I chose to add it back to my system. So while I can't come to a definitive conclusion on, Bifidus doesn't need to be avoided or we should have it, my reason for talking about it is that I don't really, for me, I didn't like the statement of it tends to promote overgrowth and that was the end of it, especially from a study that's cited that's like 30 years old. So for me, it's just getting more information and deciding what is best for me. This is not a recommendation to change anything about what you're doing, but it's maybe a recommendation to look into it further, because the problem with breaking the vicious cycle is that we can't really update it, and new research happens. So it's kind of, until we have an appointed person, we need to think about what we're eating and if it still fits for our own selves personally. That's my opinion. I think that especially for me, and I'll be talking about this more in future episodes, specific carbohydrate diet as written in the book is completely fine to follow, and it could be for as long as you need it. But for me, it's a healing phase where you're promoting healing of your gut. But when you get to a healing point, do we need to keep with the exact same restrictions forever? That's an eternal question with the diet. I'm just telling you my own experience. In my experience, I don't need to keep doing that for the rest of my life. But even though I do need to keep restricted in some respects. So if you listen to my previous episode about anti-diet movement, you can kind of see where I agreed with some of what they said and disagree with a lot of what they say as well. I will be talking more about those subjects of restriction and long-term restriction and the effects of it on us, both mentally and physically, in future episodes. So thank you so much for tuning in on my Bifidus talk. Please join next week where I will be talking more about restriction and orthorexia and how that fits with IBD. So I look forward to having you tune in then. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and follow Happy Gut for Life at Happy Gut for Life on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok. On TikTok, I do some kind of food prep videos mostly. And I'm on Twitter, not on that as much. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Be sure to follow me there.